Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Obviously, listening to this radio station, looking online, not that it's the best place to look at social media. The Giants are a hot topic for a variety of reasons. Right. And number one, it certainly seems to be the overwhelming consensus that the fans are not happy like the team is after yesterday's performance.
Yeah. Listen, I understand, right? When you have an opportunity to pick the number one guy in the draft and you're slotted at it, especially with the need at quarterback for the Giants, it's why would you give that up? But players are never going to tank, man. It just doesn't happen. Like, the guys are going to go out there and play. And if you're a Giants fan, you should have some type of happiness. I mean, the team hasn't scored 40 points of what, since 2019? I don't know. I mean, they're sitting in the fourth spot. I think there's still a chance they can get Shador or Cam. It looks like, you know, if we was to play mock draft real quick, I think Patriots do get Travis Hunter at number one. Mm-hmm. I can see, you know, there's a lot of talk of the Titans going to get a quarterback. I can see them going to get a receiver instead of a quarterback, and on and on and on. So I don't know. I just think right now, even the Browns, you know, they need O-line help. They need receiver help. They definitely need quarterback help, obviously. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I think the Giants, they'll be fine. I think it's just, it's a lot of hoopla off and nothing.
A lot still has to be determined, obviously, because you've got one more week of games to go. But considering the fact that you've only got 4 3-win teams, it is interesting in the fact that Cleveland's got Deshaun Watson, who restructured his contract. I don't think he's going anywhere. I don't know if they're going to draft a quarterback or not. No one does.
Nobody knows.
The Titans, who knows? I think we're pretty comfortable saying the Patriots will not be drafting a quarterback. So while everything changed, perhaps nothing changed. And that
exactly
either one or both of the top two quarterbacks in the draft will still be there for them at four. Also, there's the chance that one is gone and one is not, and it takes the guessing out of who they pick, or perhaps both are gone and now they've got to go in a different direction. And maybe, who knows, maybe that's the best case scenario for this team this year, because while they are, meaning Warden and Sanders, are clearly the top two quarterbacks on every mock draft I look at, maybe I don't know if they're franchise quarterbacks.
I don't think anybody knows. And I think if you watch the game Saturday against, you know, Colorado versus BYU, you know, he didn't look good. He didn't look great behind that patchy offensive line. You know who has another patchy offensive line? The New York Giants, right? So, yes, the kid, I think he has enough moxie and definitely the arm talents there. He's definitely strong. But overall, man, I think the Giants need an offensive line. It doesn't matter who you draft or where you go. If you don't have an offensive line that can protect a young kid, if you're going to put him back there, It's going to be, for me, in my eyes, it's going to be no different from what Daniel Jones did.
All true, but I would also say that offensive line was playing well before the Andrew Thomas injury, which changed everything. And I would also tell you that the Jets offensive line was coming together, and we'll get to them at 7, but just to your point, that Jet offense was, I know they didn't score, I get it. They were humming along those first couple of drives, and then I guess it was when Moses... The game just changed.
Yeah.
And Aaron Rodgers is running for his life, and all of a sudden, and now I'll bring it back to Sanders, Saturday night. There's a lot of people that say, look, he's not any good. That dude, he had no time to throw the ball.
At all.
And it's exactly why I thought the Giants were going to be a good team this year. I thought with what they did on the defensive line and with the edge rushers, I thought they were going to get after the quarterback and they would win low-scoring games and they would not give other quarterbacks time to throw. Now, that didn't obviously turn out to be the case, but that's how you win. You know, if you don't have a great quarterback, you disrupt the other team. And Shador Sanders has, I watched a lot of that game the other night. Every time he snapped, he had three guys in his face.
But that's, I mean, he was dealing with that since he landed in Colorado. The offensive line play for Colorado.
That bad?
I think Saturday was just kind of like, it exploded. I think for a lot of people that paid attention to Colorado knows that their offensive line hasn't been the strong suit for them. Overall, you know, Shador, I think he's a talented kid. I think he's going to be fine in the NFL. But I think right now you can't move forward unless you address some of the issues that they're dealing with for the Jets and Giants.
Well, I'm
talking more, if not a starter, definitely depth-wise. They need more quality depth.
They need players.
Yes.
That having been said, here's what I saw yesterday, and we've seen it all year. Malik Nabers is just ridiculous.
Stud,
he is so good, and I know we've kind of known that. I mean, he goes over, 100 receptions, 1,000 yards, and I could be wrong. I know he missed at least one. I think he missed a couple of games this season. So he's done it in 14 or 15 games, not 16. And this isn't a three-win season where it's been a quarterback carousel all year, and the other guy who started is in Minnesota on a practice squad.
Right.
And yet you still look at his numbers, it's like, damn. I mean, they really hit on a kid last season. Now you need to put the pieces around him, obviously.
And I think they will. I think we still, for a lot of Giants fans who woke up pissed off, like, oh, we had it's going to work out. I think it's tough to tell Giants fans that after the season they had, but I still think it's going to work out. So I still think you have an opportunity to snag a quarterback. And it's just a matter of how this all plays out. And I really feel like, I don't feel like there's a need to set the house on fire solely because we lost if the Giants lost the number one spot.
No, and I agree with that too, but I do understand the Giant fan that's upset if for nothing else, losing control of the draft. That I do understand. Now, I saw, I don't know how many people were actually in that building, but boy, when they made play, give them credit from this standpoint.
For competing.
Also, they got out to a big lead. The Colts kept coming back and coming after them, and they had a response and an answer every single, it's kind of, you're looking up like, wow, the Giants are clobbering the Colts. Next thing you know, it's a one-score game, Giants score again. One score goal, a one-score game, Giants score again. From that standpoint, it wasn't.
It felt good to see them have pride. I mean, this team was on its way for being winless at home. You know what I'm saying?
That's
a brutal stat, especially if you're on that team. So the fact that they was able to kind of rally and really show up on Sunday, I mean, that's enough in itself, especially when you go into the game, they're talking about firing Daboll. Do you hold on to the GM? The number one pick, how does that turn out? Like, there was a lot this team had to deal with on Sunday. So for the fact that they came out and played for themselves, I think that's a good sign.
What do you make of the idea, and this is just a general question, not so much just about yesterday, a team that has been so offensively challenged to score, and then it's kind of like, in a way, everything that could have went wrong for the Jets yesterday went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that could have went right for the Giants yesterday went right. But the idea that this team put up 45 points against a team, now the Colts are not great, don't get me wrong. They're not a Super Bowl contending team. But that was a team that still was challenging for a playoff spot, still had an opportunity. And I know Joe Flacco was playing, but I could also point to Joe Flacco earlier in the year that played relatively well. That was a team that was playing for a lot, and they hung 45 on them.
Yeah, I also think they fell asleep. I don't think the Colts thought the Giants were going to look that good or be that efficient on offense. So I think a little bit of that. And this is credit for the Giants for having a good day. I get your standpoint. Like, the Colts were still fighting for a playoff spot. But like you said, you're watching Malik Nabers right here just put on a show.
Yeah.
Drew Lock looked great. I mean, the defense actually fought for a good portion of the game. So overall, man, I just, it's hard towards being a guy who was in this position. It's hard to look around your locker room and see who still wants to fight, right? A lot of these guys are, some of these guys, most guys in this position are planning a sandals vacation. They're ready to get the hell out of here.
Oh, yeah.
So for these guys to show up and be ready to fight and put up a fight against the Colts, I think that speaks a lot to Brian Daboll, just like how we look at Mike McCarthy, right? We're starting to look at Mike McCarthy in a different light solely because the Cowboys are playing harder, and we're started playing for him, it seems like. Right? The season, it is what it is. But at least they're putting out a fight where you can, like, you know, you're not turning the channel every time this team is on TV. So,
all right. So, what does that say about Brian Daboll? Because there's a lot of, not that the fans make the decisions, but we've seen in the past where ownership does hear what the fans think and say. And there has been an overwhelming swell lately of let's go, let's start over, fire everybody. But then you see a performance like yesterday. I mean, Chris and I sat here on Friday and, you know, I said to him, I can't give you stats. I can't give you wins and losses. It's more of a gut feeling. I'm certainly no football expert by any stretch, but I feel like Brian Daboll's a good football guy and he knows what he's doing.
I said, listen, I think when last time I was on with you, we had Mara Hodge on, and he said something in reference to when you feel like you have your guy, you stick with your guy, you believe in him, you believe in the process, you believe that he's going to get it right. If that's the case, you stay with Brian Daboll. Because I've talked to guys who are on that team. They love him. They speak highly of him. He holds guys accountable. He's tough. But he also has a plan. Things haven't gone right for the Giants. We get that. But you have to believe he can get you out of this. And so we'll see what happens. And does that mean drafting a quarterback at that position? Sure, maybe. But overall, I think what you saw Sunday was guys still believing in the plan, fighting for themselves and him, and walking out of the building with a necessary W.
You know, there's been enough games this year, and I would even point to, only because I was there and I called the game with Boomer, Phil, and Gio was on the sideline, that Eagle game back in October was atrocious, absolutely atrocious. But what I would tell you is part of the reason why it was atrocious was the quarterback play was bad.
Right.
Defensively, I know the final score looks ugly, but if you saw the way they came out and quote-unquote fought the first couple of quarters in that game, before, you know, there's only so many times you can go look up and the team got no points. You know, the game plan defensively was good. The effort was good. They got after Jalen Hurts pretty good early on in that game. I think there are games I can point to that show me the team was ready to go, but there's only so much guys can take. Now, you've obviously said you've been in that position. How difficult would it be, theoretically, for a defense to continually go out there and have to get the offense off the field when your offense is generating nothing?
I mean, fatigue sets in, right? That's the biggest issue right now. But I think a lot of part of being a part of a really good defense or a stout defense is understanding you can only do your job, right? Your job is to get three and outs and get off the field and get the ball back to the offense. I think when you saw what Dexter Lawrence was able to do, especially with the rest of that front seven, I thought they were sneaky good for a good portion of the year. I think they just didn't get a lot of credit because of the way their record looked. But I thought a lot of people who walked into that building was like, man, if the offensive side of this thing was better, this team could be dangerous. And I think they still are dangerous. They just got to get a signal. They got to get a play caller. They got to get somebody that throw the ball and can be a lot more efficient at the position and get some offensive line help. But I don't think the Giants are that far away. I know people are like, what are you talking about? They get a solid quarterback, man. They can make some noise.